And speaking of Thriller, I love segueing into you, Lynn.
You do such a great job.
Speaking of Thriller.
Good morning.
Hey, was the Board of Ed meeting a thriller?
Well, get this. They canceled it.
Oh, my.
Yeah, this was, I was trying to remember last night. I don't think that, as long as I can remember, I don't remember a Board of Ed meeting being canceled. Or actually, more accurately, it was rescheduled for next Monday, the 1st.
To quote my granddaughter, no, they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't have a quorum. So that means that fewer than four people were able to attend. I know that there were a couple people that weren't going to be there, but I didn't know that it wouldn't be a quorum. So, but so yeah, I had the night off.
Oh,
so
gee.
I wasn't there until 10 or 11 o'clock, waiting for people to come out of a locked room.
Okay, here we go. So, thank you, Lynn, for that update, and we will see.
I definitely have some other things, and I also have some Hudson things that aren't really dependent on the meeting. So, just a couple of highlights from the last week. There was a story in the Daily Mail about Catskill. I know we talked last week about iPads being added to the classrooms in Greenville. I think that's correct, yeah. Greenville. Catskill just received some money from their educational foundation for smart board components for their foreign language department. So there's a trend happening here, and we'll have to keep track of this, where more technology is coming into the classroom. I think that in some districts there's still a bit of a tension there between technology and traditional classroom settings. Here we come. Here comes CSX. More and more they're finding that technology works, and you can be creative in your instructional time and use, and so we'll see how that moves through.
There had been some anxiety about the technology coming into the classroom, but like anything, when it's new, nobody wants it because it's a change.
Well, that's right. It's like and kids are always very fast to pick up on technology. It harkens back to when VCR started, and no adult, no one over the age of 30 could set the clock. So now it's the same thing with iPads.
I go back to the 8-track tape deck, please.
There you go.
Okay, I had one in my glove compartment. And I got a policeman pulled me over, and he looked in and he said, "Where's the music coming from?" I said, "It's coming from my 8-track, you know." I'm like, he said, "What kind of thing? What is that? What is that?"
I know. It's kind of like the dial phone.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now I guess an 8-track is considered an antique, probably.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah, those little boxes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gigantic tapes.
That's right. So, and then in Caro Durham, they're in the middle of looking for a superintendent over there. They're doing a full-blown search. They're involving the community. I guess in the last couple of days, they've had another one of their forums where they bring in, they call them the stakeholder forum, and it's just sort of a brainstorming session with members of the public. They come in, Questar's running that search for them. And they come in and they ask the public what they're looking for in their next superintendent. A couple of the suggestions in this last forum was they want somebody who will get out from behind the desk, somebody who appreciates the community demographics and the fact that there are struggling parents and great teachers, and somebody who can do more with less.
Well.
Yeah. There you have it. But, it's kind of interesting because Hudson has gone this way in the past when they hired Jack Howe 3 years ago. They used Questar to conduct the search, and the board itself, they didn't have any sort of stakeholder piece in that particular search. But it's gone back over time. One of the frustrations I know is that they recruit people. I think in Caro Durham's case, they're looking for 10 to 15 community members to serve on this advisory committee. And one of the frustrations in past searches over on this side of the river, I know, is that this group of people gets together, they do a lot of work, they choose someone that they think is appropriate, and then that person is ignored by the Board of Ed.
Okay.
So it can go either way. It can either be, you know, it can be sort of a unifying, engaging process, or it can really turn people off.
I'd like to throw a curveball at you.
Uh-huh.
Can you explain a Questar?
Questar, yes. Questar is a cooperative that is, if you look at it structurally, it exists between state ed in Albany, which is the state education department, and the local educational organization, the school district. And it is, in our case, it's several counties. It includes the districts of several counties. And they all go together to pitch in to support various programs that individual districts cannot afford on their own. So one of the most popular programs at Questar 3 are BOCES. And these exist around the state. Is their aviation program. So kids can apply, they're accepted there. So a kid can go there and study aviation where they couldn't do that in their home district.
I see.
A home district couldn't afford to offer that. A lot of special ed services come through Questar. Now, there are people who question whether that is indeed more economical. That's a big debate in special ed, whether you should build up your own program in your school or whether you move kids into Questar programs or private programs.
So, but Questar is not a private entity.
It is not. It is a state. It's a state entity, and as a matter of fact, the superintendent of Questar is actually a regional superintendent. So that person is between a local superintendent and the state commissioner.
Okay, because you know, for people like you, you know, you say when you say Questar, I go, I know it's something that does something.
Yeah.
So I figured if you're telling me, maybe there might be other people as dumb as I am.
No, that might need to know. No, that's a very good question because every spring, you know, and we report on this is right before the budget vote in May. It usually happens, I think, in like late April, early May. All the member school district boards of education meet on one night, one specified night, and they approve the administrative budget for Questar for the coming year.
Okay.
They have to approve their contribution. So, you know, that's a good portion of a school budget that goes to them.
Yeah, because I was just wondering whether it was a regulatory branch or was. Now I see it's like a conduit between all of the boards and the state.
Yeah, and it's a cooperative, so it's people going together to provide services and programs that maybe they couldn't afford at the district level.
I got it, teacher.
Yeah,
all right,
good,
yay.
And actually, speaking of Questar, this has a weird little connection here. One of the things that was supposed to happen last night in Hudson, and I'm presuming will happen on Monday instead, is the Board of Ed is being asked to approve a contract with a former superintendent here, James B. Clark Jr. He goes back to the early to mid 2000s, and he was the guy who was in charge of the district at the time James Baldwin, who was the superintendent of Questar, was asked to come in and look at the school district and evaluate it for some of its issues, the big thing being discipline, and there being disproportionate kind of discipline between based on class and race. And they are bringing him back to be a what they call a 3214 hearing officer. That's part of the due process that happens if a child is going to be suspended from school for longer than 5 days. So this particular individual, when he was superintendent, that was during record-breaking and some have opined illegal suspensions, especially from the middle school.
That's correct. Because you had done a report for us on that particular problem.
That's right. And they're bringing him back to be the judge. on some of these hearings. So it's a little.
Whew. Well, okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
So do you foresee any hoopla over that?
I don't know. I'm kind of interested to hear that conversation, if there will be any.
Well, yeah. See, you always leave us with a little tidbit so we can stay tuned for the next episode of What the Heck is Going On.
That's very good. We should record that.
That's how I'll introduce you.
And the only other little, and it's not such a little thing, but a thing that I want to mention, because my son came home from school. This is how I can always judge, like, what is a priority item. He came home to tell me that they were closing down some of their school clubs in Hudson. And this is all a direct result of an audit that took place and over some of the issues related to organizations with the extracurricular activities. And it wasn't so much that anyone was absconding with money or, you know, sticking checks in their briefcase and walking out, but it was a matter of there being some organizational issues. They didn't have enough kids involved. But the big thing, and I don't think most people knew this, I didn't know this, is that if you have a student club at the high school level, you have to have a student treasurer.
Ah.
You have to have a student that actually does the work.
Yeah, they have to account for what's going on.
That's right, and it's part of the learning process. Mm-hmm. That's part of the whole rationale behind having school clubs, is that kids learn that particular skill. So they had some clubs where they didn't have a student treasurer, so that automatically eliminates them.
Now, you know what, from practical experience, of course, this is years and years ago, all of my children are adults now, but one of my my girls was involved in a club at her high school, and it was, I guess, it was too unofficial, and the funds that they had collected for a talent show wound up being absconded.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that turned into quite a mess.
Yeah, that's
so I can see why the board would want to know, you have this club, who's the treasurer, and I would suppose that person has to report to somebody.
Yeah, a whole line of accounting that has to take place.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I just had one final thing before we go. We are still in our pledge drive here. It's sort of, we've sort of plateaued out here, but we really need more donations. You can go online to wgxc.org/donate or give us a call anytime. We're here all day and into the night.
Or if you see me walking down the street, just hand me some money.
There you go. But I did want to say a special thank you to a listener, our listener, Maurizio in Cooksaki, and to thank him for his donation. It meant a lot.
It meant, you have no idea.
Yeah, it was a wonderful thing.
It gave me goosebumps. And if there's any way that you can let us know what you want to hear, you do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it for me.
And that's it. Well, thank you, Lynn Slonica.